Good morning. Our scripture today is from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You know, as a kid who grew up going to church, this was simply part of life. It was a thing you did, or a place you went once or twice a week where you got to escape school or your parents. Sorry, Dad. However, the decision to be part of church, to do ministry, to do work for the sake of others, and dedicate your time to justice isn't really made until you leave home. For many, it's when you move off to college, or perhaps start living alone for the first time, that we make a decision as to how to spend our precious free time. I can certainly understand for many in my generation how they could be drawn away from the church world. Our time is indeed precious. For those of us that have stayed, church has become far more than that hangout time like when we were kids. We grew up and came to understand the inner mechanisms of the church and nonprofit world. The work and dirt and sweat and time that goes into these pretty moments, these fundraising efforts, eventually takes the shine out of the finished product. Same could be said for anyone that works in ministry. After a while, you feel stuck in a rut, or perhaps a valley like the ones our own Bobby Flowers talked about last week. For me, the light that keeps me going in the valley, the hope that comes during the struggle of trying to do better in our world, comes from the small moments in life. The hope that comes from everyday deeds of folks all around us that show how my God, our God, is with us. I am reminded, or perhaps have to be reminded, that the impact of our work will be felt in this world, even if we aren't here to see it. I would argue that for many of us here today, the choice to not walk away from God's work is far more powerful than the alternative. Now, I've had the privilege and honor of talking to you all in the past, and unlike sometimes when I pull a clip from a movie or a show that's clearly present in our collective memories, this poignant moment may not be familiar to many. In 2019, CBS released a thoughtful and spiritual television show called God Friended Me. The show centered on the idea that God had formed in the presence of a Facebook-esque profile and would urge Miles, our caring yet unbelieving protagonist, to make meaningful connections and impacts with strangers on a week-to-week basis. It did not hit you over the head with the Bible, as some shows or Christian movies attempt to do, but the weekly show would give a spiritual message each week. Throughout its two-season run, Miles struggles with his belief, or lack thereof, in God. His struggle is compounded by the combination of his father, who we saw, who is an Episcopal priest, and the loss of Miles' mother, whom he blames God for. In this scene, we see Miles question his father on his faith and decision, or lack thereof, to become a priest. We find out that despite the father's best efforts to stay away from his calling, it was his journey and suffering in Vietnam that made clear what God had planned for his life. It was the father's faith and the assurance that God's steadfast love endures forever, as the psalmists say, that got him through to the next step of his own journey in life. Later in this episode, Miles' dad parallels his story and journey of faith with that of the Apostle Paul. He says, paraphrasing the full story of Paul, that it was not that Paul had figured out where to go on his journey that brought Paul to his aha moment. It wasn't that Paul knew from day one where he was headed on his journey with God. It was not because he was specifically headed to the city of Damascus as his destination. No, it could have been any city, says Miles' father. But it was the journey that brought Paul to his denouement, or pivotal point of change, wherein Jesus reached out to Paul personally, blinding him while instructing him on what to do once in Damascus. Miles' father reminds him and us that people are looking for hope, and you only get that from people who have struggled and make the choice to keep going. It's really too bad that this show came out right before COVID, and it was shortly canceled after the pandemic hit. Now, every year as Christians, we enter Holy Week with the celebration of Palm Sunday. We wave palm branches as we sing our favorite tunes. We collect ourselves and try to prepare for a hard week of remembering what Jesus went through. We try to empathize Jesus' suffering, both mentally and physically, before his agonizing death. We try to recall during Holy Week that this was the end of Jesus' journey on earth, and we try to make this journey our own. However, the impact of this particular journey, the meaning of the Easter story, is a bit lessened because we know the ending. We know that both Jesus will arise, and as we say in each Apostles' Creed, he sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. Yet, by the end of Holy Week, we hope to have journeyed to the point of knowing that Jesus' resurrection represents God's steadfast love for us, a love that will truly endure forever, as the gift of Christ Jesus endures forever. On most Palm Sundays, we read scriptures about Jesus coming into Jerusalem with the disciples, but if we stop right there, and if we don't think about Jesus again until Easter Sunday, a week from now, we forget the path that Jesus had to take that week. We forget that Jesus ate his last supper with the disciples, that he was then betrayed by one of his closest friends. We forget how he was taken into custody, tortured, and then nailed to a cross to die. In reality, the journey of Holy Week can be dark and heavy if we truly force ourselves to step along with Jesus this week. The journey into Holy Week tells of Jesus causing problems with the money changers in the temple courts, angering the religious leaders, as this would have been the biggest fundraising event of the year that he was disturbing, the sale of sacrificial animals for Passover. Such commotion would have also stirred up the guards from the Roman army, when all they really wanted was peace and quiet during this busy time. Instead, more and more attention was being drawn to this man from Nazareth, who claimed to be Son of God and King of the Jews. The wheels were already in motion, and Jesus' journey had passed the point of no return. The free will of God's people that were against Jesus and who did not understand who he was would see to it that he was crucified, even if he was supposed to be their cornerstone of faith. But isn't that the hard truth about life and our relationship with God? He gives us free will, the choice to believe in him and let him journey alongside us. It's only in this journey that we come to know what is right or wrong. It's only in this journey that we feel suffering and learning. It's in this journey that we have guiding and are being guided, of giving and receiving. It's all these things that grow in us, the hope within us, which God freely gives us in grace and forgiveness. This journey, our journey, brings us to key moments in life. It is the suffering and joy that we come across, the lessons we experience and learn along the way. But we know, before we know it, we are another year older, another year wiser, and unfortunately, another year of having dealt with as many joys as we did sorrows. Yet, if we are truthful with ourselves, we might be able to hum along with that old Rascal Flatts song, "God bless the broken road that led me straight to you." Jesus' journey did not stop with Palm Sunday. Easter would come, as it does in our celebration every year, no matter what we are going through as individuals, as families, as communities, and nations of the world. To me, the only thing that was steady in his journey was Jesus' faith that God was there. God could hear him, and God would guide him. Faith could not be stripped from Jesus, and that, my brothers and sisters, is the message to take from Palm Sunday today. Faith is what we learn on the journey, and that cannot be stolen from those who truly know God. It can be bludgeoned, diminished, and severely torn, but never stolen if we protect it and keep walking with God. God's faith stands as one thing that can never be taken away from you. Our faith in God stands as one thing that each of us can call as uniquely our own. Our faith remains in every moment and every season. It remains even if we feel emboldened by it more at some moments in life and less so in others. Faith is the only thing we need to carry with us on this journey of life. God has made it so that your faith and mine empowers and provides the catalyst for miracles to happen that we can't even imagine until they do so. When we are on the journey with God, faith has the power to heal. It has the power to allow you to forgive. It has the power to grow in you in the midst of good times and bad times. And it can satisfy a thirst in you that truly nothing else can. Faith, said Jesus, when only the size of a tiny mustard seed can move mountains. Dead faith can also be resurrected. Being with God, listening to and for God, and being with others in the faith can help bring back the light that is our faith in the world. Our individual faith is but one small light, but when added with others, becomes a beacon of hope for those around us. If you go back and watch the episode called The Road to Damascus, you will be challenged by the list of things that Miles' father says are faith. But they are all tied to firmly believing in things you can't control, believing in things you can't always explain, but knowing that these things are good and wise, loving and caring. Miles, by the end of the show, sees that he does not have to know his destination. He is comfortable and happy with just having faith in whoever God is and walking with God on his journey. Ralph Waldo Emerson writes, "All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen." While Emerson may be paraphrasing from Hebrews 11:1, my brothers and sisters, simply know that faith allows us to go on in our journey of life comfortable with knowing that we don't know everything. It gives us the security, comfort, and hope that only comes from having God alongside us. Jesus had faith in God when he died on that cross so many centuries ago, but even Jesus had to experience the journey and come to realizations on his own with God's help. Even Jesus, with the purest faith we have ever known, had to suffer, to see the worst in humankind, to allow the uncontrollable to happen without remorse, and then to forgive. Jesus had to travel his own road toward Damascus. As we enter Holy Week, I invite you to read about the last days of Christ Jesus' life and how it guides us to a life of faith that we hope to achieve. Think, eat, sleep, and pray, and then ponder more about faith, then please read out loud to yourselves Psalm 118 again and hear these words especially. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. You have become my salvation. Palm Sunday is the gate for the faithful to enter into Holy Week, letting us recall that Jesus came with the promises of God's new covenant and to become our salvation. On Easter Sunday, let us together rejoice and sing out, like the psalmists say, "You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Amen.